Welcome to a new edition of Mercenary Musings Radio featuring mining analyst and commodities expert, the mercenary geologist, Mickey Folt. We are your most trusted source for in-depth analysis and commentary on commodities, mining, and the junior resource sector. And joining us is the mercenary geologist himself, Mickey Folt. Mickey, where in the world do we find you today, sir?
I'm in Vancouver.
Vancouver. Well, it's you're a hard guy to keep track of. You know, you're globetrotting all over the place, Vancouver right now, but you were up in the Yukon just a few days ago, I understand.
I was. I was in Whitehorse one night, Dawson City the next night, Vancouver the next night. I started this trip in Albuquerque and went to Las Vegas and Reno, so I think it was seven cities in 7 days.
And what a contrast, Vegas and Dawson City.
Well, you can gamble in. You can gamble in both places, though.
Okay, good stuff. We've decided, Mickey, for this edition of the program, to offer up a serving of vanadium. It's a hot area of the specialty metals market because of vanadium batteries and the storage of energy. But let's begin at the ground floor here. Hard, silvery gray metal, number 23 on the periodic table.
That it is, and this is our second show on vanadium. We first did it way back in 2011. Our 30th show. We're now at show number 172, Rob.
Wow.
But at that time, we talked about how it is 85% used in steel alloys, iron, titanium, vanadium alloys. It's a byproduct of steel smelting and slag. It's a byproduct of iron, titanium, and uranium mining. And it's also a byproduct of fossil fuel residues, flue dust from coal plants, and oil and gas residues.
Okay, and you look at the history of this metal, Mickey, and how it's been used. A very interesting history. I'm seeing artillery pieces and body armor in World War II, and it was also used in the chassis of the Ford Model T.
Well, yeah, it's a steel hardener is basically what it is, and it's an essential steel hardener, but we don't use very much. 2011 to 2017, production has increased by about, 30%, let's say, from 60,000 tons a year to 80,000 tons per year. Rob, that's not very much vanadium. And like we said, it's a byproduct of these various industrial processes and other types of mining. So there's only just a few primary mines in the world. There's three in South Africa and a recent one opened in Brazil. But one of the ones in South Africa is recently shut down.
Right. And it's a very tiny market, sometimes a volatile market. And we've seen the price really skyrocket recently too, haven't we?
Well, it has. It's gone from $3.40 a pound. It's sold mainly as vanadium pentoxide, V2O5, and also ferrovanadium, the alloy. So from $3.40 a pound for vanadium pentoxide in 2016, $5.20 a pound in 2017, and as we speak right now in June of 2018, it's $16 a pound. Ferrovanadium, the alloy, has gone from an average of $21 a pound in 2017, and that was the high since the commodities boom of 2008. That price is now $73 a pound. A lot of this has to do with the fact that China, which is the world's largest producer, it's essentially an oligopoly worldwide from China, South Africa, and Russia, which produce about 85 to 90% of the world's demand. But China has really clamped down this environmental thing they have going down, where they're trying to shut down small mines. They're trying to shut down polluters. So that involves coal-fired power plants. So there's not as much flue dust residue available in China. So it's upset the market a bit.
And I guess really the one of the big reasons we're touching on this today, Mickey, kind of a new use for vanadium. And I'm looking at a story from the BBC in 2014, which kind of laid the groundwork for the for this. It read, the headline read, "Vanadium, the metal that may soon be powering your neighborhood." We're talking about vanadium batteries and, you know, the overall consumption of vanadium for battery use, still quite small, but this is, I guess, maybe the next big step for the metal, isn't it?
Well, it may be. It's not a new technology. It's now into its 30th year of development. And let's say that vanadium batteries do not make energy. Mm. They store energy. Right. So it's a way to store energy from things that are not baseload electricity, such as solar or wind. So really what the use is these vanadium redox batteries. It's a chemical process that involves V2O5 because vanadium is one of these metals, has lots of valence states and is easily converted from one to the other. The problem is these batteries have been in development for 30 years. Research is continuing. They have an extremely large footprint for the energy produced, and that's a problem.
Hmm. Okay. How do they compare to lithium-ion batteries, for example? I've read that they can store more power and last longer.
Yeah, but the problem is they cannot be miniaturized. They have an extremely large footprint, like can be acres and acres. So from that point of view, they are very efficient batteries. Mm-hmm. They're very good for storage, but really the large footprint is the problem. So they're adaptable to large storage facilities, and they will never hone in on anything that has to do with the demand for portable batteries, right, such as lithium ion batteries.
Okay, so what are we talking? Mainly large industrial uses? Certainly, as you.
Yes, sir.
Okay, how widespread are they used right now? Is there much of a demand for this?
Well, there are increasing demands, but it's a very small industry at this point. Mm-hmm. It's about all I can say about it, I think, right, really, Rob.
Okay, what about from an investing standpoint, Mickey? I've read there are a few pure play vanadium companies out there. Whether or not you want to put your money into them, I don't know. What do you think?
I think I'm not putting my money into any of them. You know, we've seen this happen time and time again, where these specialty metals have gone exponential and they go parabolic. You're basing this on future demand. There are three juniors that are operating in Nevada, exploring, developing, supposedly developing, permitting vanadium shale plays where you extract vanadium. And there are some rock units in Nevada that have very high vanadium. You know, I was first on the ground at a couple of these things in 1978 and revisited them in probably the late 80s to early 90s. In particular, one of these juniors, which is now one of these projects, which has now changed hands in 2012 or 2011, they said they would be in production by 2012, and now it's 2018, and they're talking about putting out an economics assessment in 2019. So you've got the three Nevada companies. You've got one Chinese company listed on the Venture Exchange that Robert Friedland owns a minority position in. Friedland's gone into this in quite a big way with a Vietnamese-Chinese company to develop these big, large array of batteries. You've got a couple of Quebecois companies that are operating in these iron, titanium, vanadium intrusions, but those have been all very long stories that don't seem to get a lot of traction. really depends on the price of iron ore, and that can be up and down. We've got one company in Quebec, which is really a graphite company, and it's got vanadium in it. That's not too uncommon. We've seen a failure in Madagascar with that carbon vanadium metal mix before that hasn't done too well. So in my opinion, all these juniors are likely doomed to failure. Really, the problem is if we get strong steel demand, then we are awash in vanadium again. If we have continued fossil fuel residue and with major oil companies, because of the price of vanadium, figuring out ways to produce more vanadium from their residues. And finally, you've got the uranium company, specifically in Colorado and Utah, where the mines there, most of which are dormant right now, but are ready to go, ready to be started up again when the price of uranium increases. They're really vanadium mines with 5 to 6 times the amount of vanadium than they have uranium in some instances. Right. So we've seen movement from the Uravan District uranium vanadium mines on the Colorado-Utah border. Energy Fuels, which is a U.S. domestic uranium producer, the largest one. They have the White Mesa Mill, and they have announced within the last month, because of the increase in vanadium price, they're going to start processing pond solutions, which is essentially pregnant ponds with high levels of vanadium. They're going to kick on their vanadium circuit again and start producing vanadium. So it's really self-defeating when these, in my opinion, when these prices go exponential, because all the current producers look at this and say, hey, we're going to start producing some vanadium now. Right. It's going to kill this. It'll kill the market once again. Typical thing.
Mm-hmm. Pregnant ponds. I've never heard that saying before.
Oh, really? Well, that's a common term in the mining business for any sort of hydrometallurgical process that you put the metals in solution and then you run them through a chemical plant and precipitate the metals out. So you'll have the pregnant pond and the depleted pond, and they just recycle water through these things. So at Energy Fuels in Blanding, Utah, they've been sitting there with pregnant ponds full of vanadium for quite some time, and they're going to turn on their vanadium circuit now.
I learn something all the time. You know, every time we do a show.
Well, that's the point, Rob. We're trying to educate people on this show. So it doesn't hurt to educate the interviewer, too.
Okay, great stuff. Well, thank you very much for this, Mickey. Let's wrap it up there. We're going to get together in about a month's time.
We will, and I'm not sure what we'll talk about. We'll have a topic for sure, Rob.
Great stuff, Mickey. Thanks very much. Take care.
All right. Thank you, Rob.
That's Mickey Fulp, the Mercenary Geologist. You can find him on the web at mercenarygeologist.com. I'm Robert Graham at Mercenary Musings Radio. Thanks for listening.